Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And welcome to this week's Thoughtful Thursday. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Hacking Your Leadership and leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to right now. On this Thoughtful Thursday, I want to talk about the ghosting that is happening in the hiring market and the job market right now. I have said this on the podcast before, but one of the reasons that I started my consulting practice is because of a conversation I had with the CEO of a company who spent a long time trying to find the right person for a position. And it was a position that required a lot of education and a lot of certificates. It was kind of in financial management. And the person came to work and they interviewed well and they onboarded well. And about the middle of the first week, they just stopped showing up to work. And they weren't reachable and they didn't return any phone calls or emails, and people thought something happened to them. And eventually it was just found out later on that they just decided that it wasn't what they thought it was going to be, so they just stopped coming. And this was a really tough thing for that CEO to deal with. Now this is 10 years ago now, and it has only gotten worse in terms of the number of times this happens to people, so much so that it's even happening before people show up to work on the very first day. And I think this is important to discuss, because when employers have the power, meaning in when unemployment is at 8%, 9%, 10% or higher, then it's very, very unlikely someone's not going to show up to work, especially if it took a lot to get the job to begin with. But people are leaving and changing jobs so often right now, and they're doing it more and more, and they're applying for more and more jobs and getting accepted to more and more jobs. The process is being streamlined by a lot of companies. This is just going to keep happening where people just don't show up to jobs. Have you hired somebody that didn't show up yet, Lorenzo?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Yeah. It's rare, but it's happened. And to your point, like, the initial reaction is like, oh my gosh, are they okay? Is everything fine? You reach out to them. But in fact, they decided to take another offer for somewhere else, or, they decided, I'm going to move. And just like that all happened within the same time period that somebody's applying for jobs and for work. So it's absolutely happened to me. And I think that it's happening more where I haven't seen the ghosting element so much, where like there's just nothing, there's no communication. I have seen post offer where people have accepted a role or a job and then reached back out and said, actually, no, I'm going to do something else instead. That I've seen that happen more frequently.
Yeah, I mean, at least that's hopefully common courtesy says that you would at least tell somebody, so that at the very least they're not worried about your personal health and well being. Because again, that would be my initial thought too, is, oh my gosh, something happened to them, so hopefully that's happening. But I think there's a combined multiple elements here. So first of all, if a person doesn't like where they are and they start applying to find another job, it used to be that you found the job that you want and then you applied for it. And if what you're looking at is, how do I just not work for where I am now? You can literally apply for, you can go to LinkedIn and apply to 30 companies in 2 hours. It is not even your afternoon to do this. And because of the streamlining that's happening in a lot of organizations to be able to get talent in there, due to the amount of attrition and turnover that's happening, it's very possible that a person could be going through interview processes that are all virtual now with 5 or 6 different companies all at the same time. And if you get an offer and it's your first offer from somebody and it looks good and no other offers are coming in, then it's like, well, let me take it. But then you accept the offer, and then the next day, or maybe even later on that day, you get another offer from somebody else, and that one seems like a better offer. And so if you don't feel any sense of loyalty to an organization, which is normal because you haven't worked there yet, then you should be doing what is best for you. You should be doing, as a job seeker, what is best for you. Where this can be an issue is if you are putting a ton of work and effort as a hiring manager or going through interviews, and you're basically wasting a lot of this time for people who aren't going to show up. And so what I want to ask you, Lorenzo, is have you taken steps to mitigate this at all? Are there things that you're saying to, you know, candidates for employment that you think can help maybe, slow the roll of this and at least cut down on it a little bit? It's never going to go away completely as long as the job market is what it is. And honestly, it's a good thing for people to have this level of power, but that doesn't mean that we can't react to it or that we shouldn't react to it. So I want to ask you that question, but first I want to give up the word for one of our sponsors. All right, Lorenzo, what steps have you taken to kind of try to mitigate this and to make sure that the people who you're taking the time to sit down with, that they're actually serious about it?
What we've adjusted for, or what I've adjusted for, is trying to close the amount of time that it takes to get through a process. So like from the first contact to an actual job offer, I think that where that sometimes may have been, 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks based upon what the job is, how many people are involved in a process, and really trying to do my best to influence a couple of weeks at most from first contact to a job offer. I think that's been something that's been helpful. I also think that connection with candidates and staying very connected with them and having ongoing dialogue, and not like a we'll be in touch soon, but actually like we'll be in touch within the next 48 hours, or here's our contact information. Here's the person that's taking point for this, like providing candidates with access and staying very close to them in communication, I think has been helpful in reducing that type of thing and or at least giving us a heads up when there are things going on in life or other career opportunities that may impact their ability to accept a job or maybe not be able to take an offer. So like I can't say that I've necessarily implemented any type of a strategy to reduce it besides staying closer to candidates and closing the window of time.
That's definitely a thing that a lot of candidates have vocalized as problematic. Like there are stories online that I read very recently where people say that they were asked to go through 6 or 7 or 8 different interviews over the course of several weeks for a position. And, if you're hiring for a C-suite position, maybe, I guess, there's some due diligence you have to go through. For an entry-level or mid-senior level role, it really should be streamlined. You should be looking at ways to make this happen more quickly, or at least cut out some of the stuff that isn't really needed. We add a lot of things to our hiring processes because we think it's telling us more about the candidate, when in actuality, very little of it works. There are some great interview questions and some great situational questions you can ask a person to try to figure out, if they're the right fit. But at the end of the day, you have to get them in there and they have to start actually working. And sometimes you hire the wrong people, and it is what it is. There's this, kind of the law of diminishing returns. You can spend a year trying to figure out to make sure you have the right person, and they might still be the wrong person, but in the meantime, they've moved on to a different job, right? You could spend a few days or a week trying to figure it out, and maybe a few more people will get through that shouldn't get through. But if you've cut down on a lot of the fluff, you will be a more desirable employer to go through this process with. And then lastly, I would say, I love what you said about the communication piece, because at the very least, employers should be looking at this from a standpoint of, if this is happening to us, I want to know why. I want to know why this particular person decided not to. And I want to know it for each person who has done this. And the only way that you're going to get honest answers from that is if the person feels like there's a relationship there already. And so if you're talking to your candidates like numbers, if you're talking to your candidates like they're just one more cog in a wheel in this process, they're going to treat you the exact same way. If you're talking to them from a standpoint of, hey, you know what? I know this is going on in the workforce. I know that there are a lot of people. It's happened to us too. It's happened to us where we've hired people and they just don't show up on the first day. Now, probably a lot of them found a better offer in the meantime because they were applying at multiple places. I get it. If that happens, I want you to do what's best for you, but I would love to know how we can improve our processes or what made you decide that that place was better than this place. And if we can have an honest conversation about that, I'm not going to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm not going to chastise you for not coming to work after accepting an offer, because it is what it is. We'll move on with our life. You move on with your life. But let's talk and have this dialogue to solve this problem together, because when we look at this as like two separate sides and no one's having conversation with each other, I think that's when the problem gets worse and worse as opposed to better.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, you know, comments and kind of just dialogue around this, because again, it's just the shift in everything from how we engage not only our people as leaders, but, you know, really focus on even candidates and what does that look like and the responsibility, in my opinion, and we've talked about ghosting before.
Sure.
But the responsibility of the employer to be in the right space there and to have a process, have it be clear and clean and like in full transparency, like, look, things happen. People make mistakes. People drop the ball on things. People are supposed to do follow up or check in with somebody or provide information, and it doesn't happen. So like there's no like kind of thought that everything is perfect here. But the more the more structure and strategy that you can build into making sure that there are steps to stay engaged and make sure that candidates and people going through any type of a job process, that somebody is in charge or somebody's responsible for making sure that these things happen, I think it's going to be so much more important than it ever has been as we go forward.
No, I agree. I think there's something that makes this time different than previous times. It used to be that, you know, you could define what the actions or the behaviors were going to be based on what type of a job market it was. Meaning, if I'm an employer and every time I open a position up, I get 1,000 applications, then in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, I can pick whoever I want to. I don't need to respond to anybody. I can ghost 900 of these people and just talk to the 100 people that I like the most. And then on the next round, I'll ghost another 85 of them and then talk to the 15 people. And that used to be effective in terms of getting the right person in without spending a lot of time talking to people who you weren't planning on moving forward with. But that implies that you have all the power as the employer. And in previous times when you'd get 1,000 applications for one opening, it was because you had all the power as the employer. And then vice versa, if you were getting, you know, 3 applications for one open position, that implies the employee has all the power. And you really got to court them and make sure they all love you and everything. This is kind of like the worst of both worlds when it comes to the employer. You have thousands of applications for any open position because everybody's looking to better their career, better their job, take this, you know, move into roles that are remote work versus going to an office all day. They're really looking to make their lives better from this regard. So you're getting hundreds or thousands of applications, but everybody wants to be courted still because they know they have a ton of options. Mm. And so you as the employer have to really treat it like a job market where you're not getting very many at all, or you're going to end up with people who feel like they're just a number and they'll move on before the first day.
Right. No. Yeah. If you don't approach it that way, then it will become that way. You will only have a few people that are applying for jobs that you have to fill. Exactly.
Exactly. Yep.
Yep. So with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And have a great day.